This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Yeah, this one's going to sting for a while. This is the kind of show that you kind of don't want to do. You want to make fun of the Pro Bowl, or you want to get ready for Super Bowl week. You might not even talk about some of the exciting NCAA basketball games or NBA games or other news and notes that are going on with the sports world. But like many of you, I was shocked and really could not really process the loss of Kobe Bryant yesterday. It's my wife told me when I was upstairs, we had just got home from church and was planning to have lunch. And I went upstairs and she started yelling from downstairs, Kobe Bryant had died. And I said, what? And I was like, anything else? She didn't know how at first. She just saw a notice that he did. And then when you saw what happened, it was hard to process. It really was. Here's the thing. Yesterday, before it all sort of we got all the information about the helicopter crash, it was a very confusing few hours as to, we knew Kobe Bryant had died, but we didn't know who else was on. We didn't know if his wife and kids were on the helicopter. It was reported that they were. Then it was reported that just his daughter. We didn't know who else. And it ended up being 9. First it was 5, then it was 9. But it's still really hard to fathom, especially with where Kobe was going and what he was talking about. We were discussing Kobe Bryant late last week on comments that he was making about women playing in the NBA, WNBA players that could play in the NBA. And we talked about him possibly becoming the commissioner of the WNBA. He had a great future ahead of him in all sorts of business dealings. Wherever he was heading, he seemed to be heading for destiny. But what happened on Sunday brings it all back to reality. Some people are really hurt by this because they were close to Kobe. You're going to hear a lot of people talk about a friendship that was formed with Kobe, covering him for many years. But we're going to look at the man and the basketball player coming up next. His impact, not only the NBA, the city of Los Angeles, and all of that as we continue SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A one-point game. Walton to tip it. Bryant with the save.
Oh, you got a good shot here.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang!
Kobe Bryant has hit a shot.
We are talking about the loss of Kobe Bryant from yesterday. Helicopter crash out in Los Angeles, claiming the lives of 9 people, including his 13-year-old daughter. And the impact of Kobe Bryant's legacy and how people were reacting yesterday. You know what it really was? Everybody's was saying this, and it was true. You didn't feel like doing anything else. Like, people didn't want to play games. They didn't want to play basketball. They didn't want to do the Pro Bowl. They didn't want to play tennis. They didn't want to do anything. It felt like a day that needed to take a pause because the loss was so tragic. And it was so sad. Because if you had seen Kobe in a number of interviews talking about his daughter, talking about how excited he was for her future, not only in basketball, but just in life, how when he was talking about her, you know, saying, I got this, when people were saying, you need a boy to live up to the Bryant legacy. And she's like, wait a minute, I got this. I'm good. We're good. It's going to be just fine. It really does make it sad. You know, it was like a social media conversation with an old friend of mine. he's not a big basketball fan. And, you know, people were posting Kobe Bryant had died. Oh, my God, Kobe Bryant. And he was saying, yeah, and four other people died, because at the time we thought it was five. And I said, you know, I don't want to get into today. I don't want to get into the whole why are celebrity deaths more important than people you don't know, et cetera, et cetera. They just do. They just, you don't know them, but you know them because they impact you in a different way. And it is okay. It's okay when an actor, a musician, an author, even a politician you admire, it is okay when somebody who you don't directly know, that you don't call friend, that you don't even have an acquaintance with, that you may not even have met in person, you may have seen, but you never ever met, to still feel something. Because they are interwoven in things that you've enjoyed or watched over the years. And even if you're not a basketball player, it's just, it's when a notable death happens, there is a reminder that we're all vulnerable. It is a reminder that in the end, this is the destiny for all of us. It's just sad when it occurs tragically at a young age with somebody who had been in the public eye for a very, very, very long time. And it was so bizarre yesterday to watch NBA basketball. It was. I'm sorry. I don't know if the league had thought about canceling the games, but I know there's a lot more that goes into it than just saying the games are canceled. You have to unfortunately do the business of the day. If you have the emotion of the moment, we're going to cancel all the games in honor of Kobe Bryant. This is too much for our players who did know him, who had a relationship with him. For a lot of our guys, he was a very, very, very good friend. And then there's also the other parts of it, right? The other parts of it where you go, well, how do we reschedule these games? Is it a possibility of rescheduling these games? When do we do it? How do we put it in a travel schedule to make these games up? So the players did their very best yesterday. They did. They did their very best to play through and to play with emotion and to still have a little bit of passion for what they do. They did their tributes. I couldn't believe how emotional I was getting watching the Toronto Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs start the game by each team running out the 24-second clock. And just to see Greg Popovich on the sidelines just point and saying, that's it, do that. And everybody clap and everybody applaud. To hear Kobe in every arena. Other teams were doing that 24-second runoff too. It was again, a day where it felt like the sports world had to stop and take a pause, and it couldn't stop and take a pause. It had to keep going. You watched the Pro Bowl yesterday. You saw a number of tributes to Kobe Bryant. Touchdowns were scored. 2-4s were flashing. That was the conversation. Joe Testaverde and Booger McFarland, when they had it as part of the broadcast, said the same thing Mike Breen said, which is, I don't feel like doing this. This is hard to do. It really was hard to do. And I was watching the news and, you know, watching, you know, the news channels that were processing this. I was trying to get some information. Look, I have a journalistic nature. That was my original background. The who, what, where, when, and why. And I was waiting for more information. How did it crash? Does anybody know? Does anybody know what it did? Who was on it? At the time, at the early parts of it, I didn't know. There were reports none of his children were on. Then there were reports there was. We are rushing to be the first. People are rushing out there to give you the quick information that they can. All of his family was on the helicopter. None of his family was on the helicopter. Oh, now it was one of his daughters was on the helicopter. Parent, it's only five people. Oh, now it's nine. Right? There was fog. Other helicopters in the Los Angeles area were grounded. Why was his allowed to fly out? Why did they choose to fly out in such awful weather? Normally the helicopter has two pilots. Why did it have one? Listen, there was a journalist in nature in me that wanted to know more because this was still really hard to fathom. The closest, I was trying to remember this, the closest I think I ever felt to wondering how a famous person had died, I think I have to go back to Michael Jackson. But if I dig deeper, I'll probably find another one within the last 10 years that made me kind of be in bewilderment as well. The idea that Kobe Bryant woke up yesterday, planned a day around a basketball tournament with his daughter, got his friends and got into a helicopter that he owns, and they started to fly out about 40 minutes into the flight, and it's gone. It's over. It's gone. And the NBA and the sports world mourns, and it becomes a weird part of processing all the day's events because it's something you didn't expect. We should be celebrating the Super Bowl week. There wasn't any talk yesterday about that. There wasn't any talk about all the fun and frivolity that was going to go on in Miami as the 49ers and the Chiefs arrive, and media day was going to happen later this week, and practices were going to be held, and everybody, we'll have that, no doubt, no doubt. We'll have that. But yesterday was the Kobe news really hit home, really, really hit home. And I was watching, I was watching the news, and the news did a good job trying to process. I mean, your news channels that deal with this kind of stuff on a regular basis, whether it's an actor or a celebrity and whatnot, they did the best they could. They got on local sportscasters who knew what they were, knew Kobe, knew what he meant, whatever. But when you watched Scott Van Pelt last night, I mean, ESPN does a good job with video. They really know how to put those packages together, and they know how to package them quick. And they had one of the better ones, one of the better montages of highlights and history from Kobe coming out of high school, playing in the NBA, feuding with Shaq, winning championships, all of those things, winning championships without Shaq, scoring the 60-point game in his final game ever, and how he walked off the stage. Then what he was doing afterwards, how he was very interested in his daughter's basketball career, how he went to trips to UConn to see UConn play because that was her favorite team, how he took her to games, how they talked about games, how he helped her figure out and see the game the way he saw the game because she loved it so much, and what her future would have been like. And now they're both gone. They're both gone. And Kobe had... he wasn't just a guy that was disappearing in the limelight of retirement of basketball. He was planning big things business-wise. Ron and I were talking about this last week, right? I mean, we were saying he could be the commissioner of the WNBA. To be honest with you, he had a number of things that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
He had a number of things he was planning on doing. He was planning on building something a lot bigger than just, I'm retired, I'm hanging out, maybe I'll get into broadcasting or whatever other athletes had done. He was really heading into some, to another level. He could have been Magic. Like, Magic has all these business ventures. He could have been a billionaire athlete on that level where he was a mogul. He was on his way too. He had won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
He won an Oscar. I mean, by 41, think of everything he's been doing. But, I was talking to my wife about this and I said, what's interesting about Kobe is he's 41 years old. And I said, I said to my wife, you and I have been married a long time. I said, he was in the NBA when we got married. He was in the NBA before we got married. He was in the NBA before we met. I said, the first time I saw Kobe in person, I was living in Las Vegas and the Lakers were coming to the Staples Center for a preseason game. And a friend of mine, and I had media passes to go. But my wife and I had been married it was probably our second year of marriage, maybe a year and a half. We had this huge fight. I mean, just this huge fight that was just, it was, I have to get out of the house. We'll have to talk about this later. It was a really big fight. And I'll never forget, my friend said, you want to go to that game? And I said, no. I said, I just had this big fight with Lori and my mind's not in the right place. He said, go to the game. He said, go to the game with me. We'll talk. We'll hang out. You'll calm down. Everything will be fine. And so I was reminiscing about that with my wife. And I said, I remember being in the Staples Center tunnel. I remember going into the locker room. I remember Kobe and Shaq were there. And I remember I couldn't have cared less. I couldn't have cared less. I saw the Lakers. The Lakers were, the defending champs. And this fight was just so important, and I really needed to resolve it, and I needed to apologize, and I needed to fix it and all that stuff. And I couldn't have cared less, but it's amazing how I connected the two. I was in the world champs locker room, hanging out with my other media friends in Vegas. They had come. They never, you know, NBA teams don't come to Vegas very often. When they do, it's kind of a big deal. We all kind of, it's one of those, everybody in Vegas had to be there, had to cover it kind of events. It was a preseason game, but that's how I remembered it. And my wife doesn't know anything about basketball. She really doesn't care about basketball at all, but it was amazing that we talked about Kobe in that regard. How back when we were just young, 20-something, married kids trying to figure out this world, and I was like, and I spent that night of the fight after getting out of the house watching Kobe and Shaq play a preseason game against Sacramento. Just amazing. Just amazing. All right, so we'll talk more about Kobe again as we continue along. We'll talk more about his impact in the NBA, including some of the historical moments of his career, including the night he did score 60 in that final night, that final game when everybody went, yeah, it's time to close it up on the career of Kobe Bryant. That's coming up as we continue along on SB Nation Radio. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, also at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, as we continue along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Everybody wants it to get into Kobe's hand. Kobe pump fake for two. Kobe stopped the Laker record. 81-point game. Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed the second greatest scoring performance in NBA history.
Again, Kobe Bryant's 81-point performance. You're hearing right here on SB Nation AM. I'm telling you, this was... Remember when that happened? Remember how many people hated that?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was
how
during
much
that time...
criticism that got?
That was during the time when everyone was complaining about him being a ball hog.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You never saw more people not really appreciate somebody scoring 81.
Yeah.
Because it had to come with the caveat, well, Kobe never passes the ball. That's where we were with him. He's really, listen, if you do something, I don't know, if you do something for 20-something years in the limelight, you're going to have your years where things are good, you're going to have your years where things are bad, and you're going to have your years when people realize who you are and how important you are and how much you mean to them, right? It's a roller coaster. It's a cycle. And Kobe had that. From young superstar winning championships, and then there was a, which camp are you in? Are you in the Shaq camp? Are you in the Kobe camp? And then it was the selfish ball hog Kobe Bryant era where people didn't really appreciate some of the things he was doing. And then he got hurt. And then as we were coming back, people started realizing this is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And you really sort of stepped back and went, you know what? I like the roller coaster too. I liked riding the roller coaster with this guy's career. I liked loving him. I liked hating him. I liked feeling, like something was wrong. Like I shouldn't have liked him, but I do like him. And then really falling in love with him because he was that kind of player that really went up and down.
I'm not too sure about this hating him part that you speak of. Having grown up in Southern California, being a Laker fan, I mean, this is probably I guess the worst thing that could happen to an athlete. I mean, it is the worst thing that can happen to an athlete. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I mean, the worst thing that could happen to an LA athlete. You get what I'm saying? I mean, like of all the LA athletes to go down, this is not the one you want to go down.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So this is what I hear about the helicopter, that it was 40 minutes en route. It was leaving Orange County. It was heading up towards, it crashed in Calabasas, but I think it was trying to land, it was going to land in Burbank, but it was trying to land. This is what I heard. Now, I don't know about some of the accuracy, but this is some of the reports that were coming in that it was flying low. And it was going about 185 miles an hour. But there was visibility issues. And it was a day where the pilot may have lost some bearings while flying and basically crashing on the mountainside of Calabasas. Now, Calabasas is, I'm assuming, north? Is that north
about,
of Los Angeles?
It's about northwest of downtown L.A.
Gotcha.
In between, Calabasas kind of sits in between San Fernando Valley, where I grew up, and Malibu.
Okay, gotcha. So I think that's where...
Which is kind of bizarre because it's not... I get the route that they were probably trying to take to get to Burbank, but that's not... I mean, there's other ways unless they were just not cleared to fly... Like more over Universal Studios area. That would probably be a more direct route.
Well, listen, I don't know how helicopter flying works in terms of, like, I don't know how when you book a, like, he's got his own helicopter. So he calls his pilot, we're going to take a trip. I don't know if the pilot goes, no, where everybody's grounded, or do they say, look, the city officials are grounded. Like we're not going to fly helicopters, but if you want to fly your helicopter, go ahead. Like, I don't know how that works. Like, but people were saying it was really, the visibility was terrible. It really was not good. There was a lot of fog in the area, but I don't, you know, I mean, again, I'm not sure if they took a gamble. I don't know if they were saying, well, that's for them, but, you know, we're fine. We'll be fine here. I mean, Kobe, that was his own helicopter. He didn't rent it. That wasn't a company. That was his.
Yeah, how he used to get to and from home to work, basically. He hated it. He never wanted to drive in the traffic in L.A., which is understandable. We used to always joke that we wish we had a helicopter of our own. Everyone did.
Sure.
Everyone wanted a helicopter to bypass, you know, to get to the office, you know, just to bypass traffic is, you know, leave your house and then hover over all the traffic, look down at the peons, if you will, that had to motor their way and then just get to work. And that was one of the things that always attributed him having a great night because he was still so fresh. Sitting in traffic, I mean, you know, sitting in traffic, you get lazy, you get tired. Legs cramp up.
I hate traffic. I'm with everybody. I can't stand it. I don't find it. I don't sit back and go, well, I guess I'll listen to an audiobook or so. I hate it. I mean, I get frustrated. I get, you know, just short tempered. I don't like traffic at all. And Nashville is terrible. So I try not to go into the city as much as possible. I don't like it, but I, of course, if you, you know, with those kind of funds, of course, get in a helicopter. If you got to go somewhere long in Los Angeles, in the greater Los Angeles area, absolutely. But
yeah, I really don't know
to see the
how he got the free pass, if that is the case. The problem, I mean, there's so much information that's not being told. I mean,
find out.
Because we all saw the press conference yesterday, and that's when we found out that there were, you know, 9 victims instead of 5, and they weren't releasing any of the names. They wouldn't even confirm that Kobe Bryant was even on that helicopter. And it was one of those things where it was like, okay, you know what, they're doing their due diligence. They're, you know, lambasting all the media of just coming out and saying this, saying that, just willy-nilly, like, we're just going to say this and see what happens, see if it sticks. And that, I mean, it was
that was the toughest part yesterday.
Oh God!
It was awful. It was awful. I mean, listen, I get it. Listen, we are in a different media business now. We are. You can apologize later, and sometimes you don't even have to apologize at all, right? You don't even have to say we got it wrong. You just go, we're going with what one person told us, running past us at full speed.
Yeah, that was one of the...
We're just going to go with that.
Like, I was seeing tweets like yesterday, why isn't ESPN reporting on this? Why aren't they saying anything? And I was wondering the same thing at first, and I was realized, you know what? No one...
Me too.
We don't know anything. Why is this news company going to come out and just start talking about a helicopter crash?
Right.
They don't cover helicopter crashes.
Well, that's the one thing. That's the one thing. And you make a really good point that we're going to touch on the other side. There is a difference when CNN or Fox or MSNBC or all these other news channels, what they do compared to what an outlet like ESPN does. And when those two worlds have to collide and come together, you're right. It's a different approach. As we continue to talk about Kobe Bryant on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along. And once again, talking about Kobe Bryant and the tragedy of the helicopter accident yesterday that not only took his life, but nine people, including his 13-year-old daughter, the pilot, friends of his family. There was a baseball coach, his wife, and a daughter that was on her team who were also in the crash.
Devastating.
That's really devastating to the family right there.
Two other kids at home. Or they had three. Yep. They either had two other kids or three other kids at home.
Gosh, amazing. Absolutely amazing. Unbelievable. A lot of tributes yesterday. A lot. I mean, from all across the globe and all sports, not just the NBA. The Pro Bowl players did their best to honor the legacy of Kobe Bryant and little on-field celebrations that they had throughout the Pro Bowl yesterday. They were interviewed about it. They were talking about it. I mean, if you saw the clip of the Farmers Insurance Open yesterday at Torrey Pines, where Tiger's caddy told him at the end of the round that he had yesterday that Kobe was killed in a helicopter accident, and the surprise that Kobe had as he walked up to the CBS interview area.
Was that a smart move?
By his caddy?
Yeah.
Oh, I would think so.
To keep him focused and dialed in. I wonder how many people on the golf course, I mean, how did anyone find out? Because you have, I mean, it's one of those weird sporting events where no one really talks.
Yeah, Tiger said in his interview with CBS, he said he kept wondering why people were saying, like, do it for Mamba or something like that. He didn't understand, but he was focused. You hear these things and you don't think about them. You know, you train your mind under the task at hand. But he kept wondering why that was being said. And then his caddy told him afterwards. That he was walking into the CBS interview area when he was told. So you had tributes from all over. The video of Lakers heard it on the team plane. So when they landed, they are very emotional. I mean, the games went on yesterday, and so that you had a lot of NBA players that were very, very emotional as they were getting ready for a game.
The hardest one to watch, though, was Rockets Nuggets, because they were the first. I think they were the first tip off.
Yeah, they were the first one. They were out. They were the first.
It was like 30 minutes after the news was all sorted out, because I mean that first hour was just so confusing.
Oh, it was. It really was.
Then they tip off, and you're like, man, how are they doing this? And then, you know, they do that shot of, I can't remember the player's name right now. It was a teammate of Kobe's. And I mean,
all right, we were talking about this with ESPN. We were talking about ESPN and Fox. I know that you do things, you know, when you're in the sports business and you cover highlights and you cover games and you cover sports and you cover when you cover sports for a living, you cover usually most of the time, you cover things that are somewhat expected in the realm. There's obviously surprises. A coach may get fired. A player may suddenly resign and quit. A player may suddenly get traded. But even in those contexts, those are part of the expectations of the sports world. Now, you know that tragedy can happen. You know that with player travel, that there could be an accident. There could be an unexpected death. You know that sort of thing. But in the end, most of what you cover when you cover sports are usually scheduled events. We're covering games that are scheduled. We're covering a trade deadline that's coming up. We're going to be covering a press conference that's going to happen when a new coach is hired. We're going to be covering a draft. You know, you're scheduled to cover things. In news, you don't know what is going to be brought to you on any given day, right? There could be a fire in your local community. A police chief could be fired. Unexpectedly, something could occur with it. You know, all sorts of things. You're kind of dealing with the unexpected. So there is a process that you kind of go through in news where you try to cover some bases, get as much information as you can, get it on the air, even if it's not complete, and then try to polish it up at the end, right? There's this helicopter accident. Who is in that helicopter? Oh my goodness, it's Kobe Bryant's helicopter. Is Kobe Bryant in the helicopter? If he is, who is in the helicopter? Those are the kind of things. ESPN deals in a completely different route. They have reporters on the scene, but they want to really make sure if it's about Kobe, right, then they want to make sure that they're putting it in the sports context as well as news, right? Because to them, a helicopter crash in California is only relevant to them if Kobe is on board that helicopter. I mean, it's not to be callous, but it's the truth. If you're in the sports business, that helicopter crash is only important if Kobe is on it. You may bring it up if Kobe's not on it, if he had lent it to a family, to another family, or lent it to friends, and it crashed without him. But you have to be sort of, in what context is this important to us? In this news, why is this important to us? Right? So they deal with it. They have to deal with it a little differently than news. News says there's a helicopter crash in California. It started a wildfire. Okay. Then we go from there. How did it crash? Who's on it? All of a sudden, then it starts to trickle down, right? That's how they deal with it. ESPN has to really make sure, right? Because I don't know how many of you saw early feeds of this. Now, I didn't. I was told by my wife when she saw it on a news feed. So I got it late. But in looking at the Twitter timelines of people, they weren't even sure he was on the helicopter at first. They had not confirmed that he was on the helicopter first. Now, if you're ESPN, you have to confirm that he's on the helicopter before you bring it up. So you're a little late. You're a little delayed in the process than news people who are going to report on a helicopter crashing in California, starting a wildfire in California. They're just going to report that anyway. It doesn't matter who's on the helicopter at the time. They're going to report that anyway. It just then they're in the line of getting information that lets them know it's Kobe Bryant. ESPN has to know it's Kobe Bryant before they even report on a helicopter crash in California, because a helicopter crash in California is not relevant to them unless, of course, Kobe Bryant's on it. Right? That's just the way they do business. It's the same if you're an entertainment reporter, if you cover musicians and actors, right? You care about that world and tragic events that affect that world, that you deal with it differently than general news. I went to general news first. They were talking about it. Yep, Kobe Bryant was on the flight. I then went to ESPN and got a little bit more sports analysis of it and all that. But really, when I really wanted more information about the flight, about the crash, I stayed with news. You know, the emotion of a moment and what it means to the sports world, that's where you can get from an organization, television program like ESPN or whatever. But far as the details, that's where you went to that's where I stayed with news. To me, listen, I brought this up earlier. Celebrity deaths matter to us because there's an impact. There's an impact to those who are affected by whatever that celebrity does. If you like somebody's movies, if you like their music, if somehow their actions, what they do, affects you in a way, you're affected by their removal. I'm always blown away by people who tell me that I should be sad that a certain musician died or a certain actor died, but when an athlete died, they go, whatever. Well, it's not important to them, but it's important to other people. And Kobe mattered to a lot of people. You rooted for him. You rooted against him. You respected him. You watched him play basketball. There was a longevity to his career that I was talking about earlier that had all of the ups and downs, from being a young, fun, the Lakers are back Kobe, where him and Shaq formed this kind of unbeatable team, to then the feud, and if you took sides, which side were you on, to then Kobe sort of disappearing for a little bit, then winning titles by himself, his constant pursuit of Michael Jordan's numbers, the constant pursuit of trying to get 6 championships. That was always in the conversation. Before there was LeBron versus Jordan, it was Kobe versus Jordan. Right? It was these people making the statistical comparisons between those two greats. And it didn't matter which side you were on or which argument won or how you felt about either person. The fact that he was even in that conversation, the fact that people were having legitimate debates about his state of where he was in the NBA is a remarkable testament to the longevity of his career and his willingness to do whatever it took to get back from that injury. When he was out, how he wanted badly to come back and how he wanted to continue to play and how he just wanted to finish on his terms. And he did. He scored 60 points on his final night playing. And it was television greatness. It really was. It was a made-for-TV moment. You know, it was like watching an all-star game where it was just people didn't care and you just watched guys score a lot and it was no big deal and nobody was going to take any shots. It was all going to be Kobe's night. It was a meaningless game and Kobe was taking all the shots and Kobe was scoring all the points because how dare anybody try to score on a night, the final night where Kobe's being at the Staples Center for the final time ever. Right, it was that kind of fun sporting experience. I mean, you want to talk about grooving a pitch. They were grooving a pitch for Kobe Bryant to score 60. And to realize the global impact of that, right? One of the announcers that was bringing it up said this game is guaranteed to have at least 10 million people watching it because that's going to be the population in China that is going to be tuning into this. He had that kind of global influence. You've heard us talk about this before. When LeBron said he thought he was popular, but he didn't know popularity until he saw Kobe in China. Right? He was the ambassador for the game for many people across the globe because he came in at a perfect time. He came in right when the world was getting smaller and smaller. And he was getting bigger and bigger. His basketball legacy was on climbing up to an apex in the late 90s when we were starting to really, really figure out what this crazy internet could really do. So he was a bridge between people around the world getting delayed information about a sport in the United States that they really liked and athletes in the United States that they really liked. Now they could actually start getting this information in real time. They actually could start seeing videos in real time. And it was just this globalization of the sport that he caught the wave, right? And that's one of the reasons why he became an ambassador for the sport. And whether it was whatever he was going to pursue, the business deals he was going to pursue, like we talked about, he had won an Academy Award. He could have been commissioner of the WNBA. He had a real passion for that. All of that. Remarkable. And it's really, really sad as well. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Colbert. That is Ron with two N's, as we're spending today talking about the life and the legacy of Kobe Bryant. This hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And a lot of tributes pouring in from all over the sports world from yesterday. I mean, it's really hard to put your arms around it. Or it's really hard to put your mind around it. But these things do happen. I mean, you know, it's funny. It's real, not funny, but it's interesting because these things do happen more often than we know in terms of celebrities, right? Celebrities die from drug overdose. They die from accidents. They die from all sorts of things. And we go through that every single year. It's one of the reasons why the Academy Awards does a memoriam every single year. And there's always one or two that are on the list that you go, wow, I remember that day. I remember when that person, you know, was found in a hotel room, or they were found in their apartment, or they were in a car accident, or whatever it is, right? It happens all the time. But when you're talking about a guy like Kobe Bryant, who you expected a second life, right? He was on his way towards a second life. You were wondering where he was going to go. He was still relevant in the news. He was still making news. He didn't quite disappear. And it just hits you in a very odd way. And I think with his daughter being with his daughter, there's just a feeling of even more sadness and even more tragedy to it. It's just hard to put your mind around exactly what that must have been like for him in those final moments of knowing he was with his daughter, knowing he was with his friends, and the sheer panic and the sheer terror of that, of knowing that his helicopter was out of control for however long that was. I don't even want to think, but when I do think about that, that's when the sadness comes in for me, is to know that he was with his daughter and what those final, as a father myself, to wonder what was going through his head in those final seconds. It must have just been horrifying, absolutely horrifying. But there is no doubt that this league is going to honor him in his legacy in the sport, because it was a very, very important legacy. It's not just championships. It was the Laker franchise. It was not just even the Laker franchise. It was the globalization of the game. Every step that he took he always went a little step higher, right? It wasn't just getting in out of high school and being successful. It was also, where do I take the Lakers? There are iconic brands in sports, and the Lakers are certainly one of them. If he had stayed with the Charlotte Hornets and led them to a few titles, it would not have been the same as him taking the Lakers with Shaq to those three early championships and establishing as a young champion in this league, a young MVP in this league.